word of the day, or we could say words of the day, are based upon a very important, good, it's a good word, oikonomia. Oikonomia. That's what our noun. There's also that same root. It's used oikonomos, oikonomos. And so when we're talking about oikonomia, we're talking about a management of a household. It's could translate this stewardship. In many places, you do see it translated stewardship. Another way you could translate this word is dispensation. Dispensation. And so I want to talk about this word. It's so interesting to me how in Christendom, so much is turned towards Reformed theology. And Reformed theology, dispensationalism, dispensation, that's become a negative term. And I'm reminded of going on book runs in one of our favorite bookstores that's no longer in business in Portland. He used to highlight books that tended to put dispensationalism in a negative light. He put those books out and give them a special place and put them out there out front. And there's been a lot of work by some to try and make it a derogatory or a negative term. It's a good biblical term. It's an important one. I'm reminded of someone I know who had an experience at his workplace where he was talking to someone a lot about scripture and was really encouraged about sharing with this person in the workplace about scriptures. But as soon as he said something about the dispensational theological seminary, that conversation ended there and permanently. And I'm, and I think some of these folks, have learned through propaganda. They couldn't tell you why, but they've just been encouraged to think of this in a negative light. We know, for us, it's an important term because dispensations are important to understand to understand the management of a household. And who is the household in this current dispensation? Well, it's the Church of God. And so there's house rule for this household. And so there's also an oikonomos. And so oikonomia is the stewardship or the dispensation. You can almost hear the word if I mispronounce it a little bit and say, instead of saying oikonomia, if I say economia, you can almost hear an English word, economy. Economy. It has the idea of the management or a system of management of resources. So you could translate oikonomia as administration as well. I mean, that's another way you could think of it. It's a dispensation, an administration, a stewardship. And this other word we're considering is oikonomos, it describes who the manager of the household is, or the steward, steward of the household, one who would be charged with dispensing the rule or the resources. And so we have some really good biblical illustrations of this word, of both of these words, for the stewardship or the dispensation, and then of the steward or the manager of the household. And so these are our words for the day, and let's pray and we'll take a look at what scripture has to show. Father, thank you for this day. We're thankful for your word. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here together, to be arranged under your word, thinking your thoughts at the same time with one another. We would pray your spirit would be involved as we think on some of these things in your word. And we would thank you in Christ's name. Amen. And so we're talking about, with a koinonia, an administration. We wanted to keep the idea of the root when we talk about the oikonomos, that's the administrator, if you will. And so you can have an administration and you can have an administrator. We're going to illustrate this word. I'm going to illustrate it first with a koinonos, because a koinonos is the manager of a household or the steward. He's the one who's charged with dispensing the rule or the resources. And so let's go back to Luke chapter 12 and verse 42. And we have an illustration here that we can, that kind of ties in some of these elements. And so we're going to see our word in the King James is just translated steward. And so this is a household manager, the household manager, the one who's administering. And so here we see, and the Lord said, who then is a faithful and wise steward? One who is the house manager or the administrator. Whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household. And so here we see another element of a stewardship or a dispensation or an administration is there's a household. And he says to give them their portion of meat in due season. And so then here you see the activity then of a steward, or an administrator is to dispense. Here you have dispensing of goods. And so this is just a word that's kind of illustrating this. And so as we get into the dispensation that we're currently in of the grace of God, we're going to tie these elements together. So this is a good place to illustrate some basic elements. Let's consider a couple of other places where we have this word, oikonomos, the idea of the manager of a household, a steward, one who's in charge of dispensing. So let's go over to Romans in 16:23. Let's see. Yeah, okay, yeah. And so, you know, Paul's sending greetings here, and we're going to see a saint named Erastus. Now, your King James is going to translate our word here, chamberlain. This is our word for a household manager. This is a steward. This is an administrator. And so Gaius, my host, and of the whole church salutes you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, salutes you. And so Erastus, here he's the steward. He's the one who's put in charge of the household or the estate. The city here is what's in view. And so he was a manager, if you could say, of the city, a steward of the city. And so this is a good place to illustrate that word. So I want you to see that as the administrator or steward of the city, because we're going to find out through his own writings who the steward is of this dispensation for Christians. And so a good illustration there. Another way, another place we can see this. Now, this is getting ties into believers and having a spiritual gift is over in 1 Peter 4:10. And over in 1 Peter 4:10, and so this is one of the places you could show that, you know, each believer has a spiritual gift. Don't try and go to the exception to the rule, Timothy, to try and show Christians can have more than one spiritual gift. And here we see Peter says, as each one has received, not the gift, it's a quality, it's a gift, the quality of a grace gift, the result of grace. Even so, minister it one to another. And so one to another. So here you can, you're getting some information about the believer's spiritual gift is that it's for serving one another. Now he says to do this as, and so that as is important because as means similar to. So it's not identity. He's not saying we are the good stewards, but as, similar to good, excellent, beautiful to look at, stewards, kind of managers, if you will, or administrators. You could, this word, you, as similar to administrators of the multifaceted or manifold grace of God. You know, so you see there another place where we have this noun used of a steward, of a, an administrator, one who dispenses something. So let's take the understanding that we're getting from these words, and let's go back to where we have another really good illustration of what a dispensation is, what a stewardship is, what an administration is. We could translate it any of those ways. And we have this illustration used over in Luke chapter 16. And so in Luke 16, we have this illustration of the unrighteous steward. And this is the Lord, and he's speaking to the disciples, and he's going to make reference here. And we have this steward. So now there's four components when we talk about a dispensation that you should keep in mind. A dispensation, when I say dispensation, if you want to think of it as a stewardship or administration, you know, all of those translations work. I like the translation dispensation. But the four components that we see in a dispensation or a stewardship is you have a master. So there's a master. And then you also have a household. There's a household. And underneath the master, you have the steward. The steward. The steward, as we said, is the one who is the administrator. He's the one charged with dispensing goods to the household. And so we also have a household rule, of how the house, how the household should function, how it's organized. Remember I said that a dispensation or a stewardship, it's a system of management of the resources. And so this is where I'm going to literally the word oikonomia, it's two Greek words put together. And so if you can keep this in mind, you'll always be able to get back to the basic idea. Oikos in the Greek is the word for house. Nomos in the Greek is law. So you put those together. What is a stewardship or a dispensation or an administration? It's a oikonomia. It's house law or rule. And so coming back to four components of a stewardship is you have a master. Then you have a steward who's given charge. He's been charged with kind of overseeing and dispensing the house law and rules of how the system functions to the household. And so that's, so you have master, steward, house rule, and a household. Okay. So with that in mind, let's go to an example of this in Luke chapter 16. In Luke 16, the a good New Testament example here. The Lord is, he's going to be talking about the example of this unrighteous steward. And so in Luke 16:1, and he said unto his disciples, this is Jesus unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man. So here's the rich man. And so the rich man in this illustration would be the equivalent of the master. And so we see that, and the rich man had a steward. So he had a house manager. He had a household manager. He had a steward, an administrator. And among, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And so the master, the rich man here is, heard accusation against the steward. And so he called him, and so the rich man, he called this the steward, the one he's put in charge of kind of running the household rule. And he said unto him, how is it that I hear of this of you? Give an account of your stewardship. There's our word of koinonia, your dispensation, your administration, you know, the management of the household. Give an account of it. He says, and then he says, for you mayest no longer be steward. You may no longer be the house manager. You may not be the administrator of dispensing and the goods and the resources. And so then the steward said, this is the house manager, said within himself, what shall I do? My Lord takes away. So the Lord, the master here, the Lord takes away from me the stewardship. He's taking away the ideas, the management of the household, the stewardship, the administration, the dispensation. And then he says within himself, he says, I cannot dig. So the steward has been used to managing the household. He's not. In other words, he can't do physical labor here. Yeah, and to beg, I'm ashamed. So he's in a strait here. He's in a fix. In verse 4, he goes on and he says, I am resolved what to do. And so I know he's basically says, I know what I shall do. When I am put out of the stewardship. And so he's about to lose his position as steward. That they may receive me into their houses. And so now we see the household coming into the mix here. The household. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him. And he said unto the first, how much owest unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, sit down quickly and write 50. And so he's going to start writing off of debt. And, not really being loyal, really, as here you see, disloyalty to the master, but he's thinking of his own interests. So he's trying to guarantee that the household is going to still have a positive response to him. And then we see in verse 7, and he said to the another, to a different one, how much owest you? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And so again, 80, 20 is a score. So, you know, not quite giving the same kind of discount, but still reducing the debt. And then we see in verse 8, and the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. Kind of the idea of kind of prudently. There was another word that escapes my mind right now. But he had done so in his best interest, is kind of the idea. And then we see this comment, for not the children, but the sons of this age. And so we changed the King James, for the sons of this age are in their generation or kind wiser than the sons of light. And so he's going to go on and in this illustration, in this parable, and you see kind of the idea of what he's saying here back in verse 13. He says, no servant, the idea of no household slave can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and he will love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, kind of the idea of riches here. And so anyway, we just, we go to this. This is a good place to just illustrate the basic components of a dispensation of a stewardship. And so you have all of the components there. You know, you have the master, you have the steward who would be the administrator of the household, the manager. You have household rule of how things are operated, and you have a household involved. And so that gives us, you know, a basic foundation to what a dispensation or a stewardship is. And so as we come to some other places where we're going to see this word translated stewardship, or you could translate it dispensation. It's the same Greek word. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians and 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'm not going to, for time's sake, I won't expand out the context here, but Paul's dealing with the rights of an apostle, and that he didn't always exercise the full rights of an apostle. But he says something of interesting, and so in 1 Corinthians 9:17, let me back up to verse 16. He says, for though I preach the gospel, just I preach good news, I gospelize. He says, I have nothing to not glory, but to boast of. He says, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel, if I do not gospelize, if I do not preach, you know, good news, the quality of good news. And then he says, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, or just unwillingly, and so you see your King James actually translates it dispensation. He says, not the, but a quality of a dispensation, of a stewardship, is committed unto me. And so Paul recognizes that he has a role as a steward. He says a dispensation, a stewardship, an administration is committed unto me. Paul sees his role under a master, who would be the Lord, in relationship to a household dealing with believers. Now we're going to see that Paul's going to be the one who to develop the household rule for the household. The household, let's talk real quickly about the household of which we are a part of. If we go over to 1 Corinthians in 10:32, you know, on the day of Pentecost, a new creating began to take place, whereby believers were baptized into the body of Christ. You have the formation of the church of God. And so we have a new household. So the church didn't take Israel's place. Israel didn't become the church. They are separate households. And so here you see how God views things presently as three races. And so in 1 Corinthians 10:30 says, whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, that's verse 31, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense neither to the Jews nor the Gentiles nor to the church of God. Church of God. The church being Christ's body. Came into existence in time on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and began baptizing, immersing believers into the body of Christ. And so this deals with a new creation. So if we go over to Ephesians in chapter 3, this is what Paul's talking about. In 3:2, and here we're going to find our word again, dispensation in Ephesians 3:2, a stewardship, an administration. And this is where you find the actual name for the dispensation that we're currently in. He says, for if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you all. So I'm going to probably incorporate some Southern flavor. You know, now that Gabe's going to probably have a Southern accent here before too long. But the dispensation of the grace of God, that's the dispensation that we are currently in. So the dispensation, remember, that's a stewardship. It's a system of the management of resources, benefits, you know, the grace of God. When you think of the resources that this household has, you know, it's all based upon what Christ has already accomplished for us. We're not trying to earn any of it, nor could we, but we have a better thing. We've got it all because of who and what it's based on. And so the household is the church. The Lord is the master. He's the head of the body. You're going to see this here in just a minute because this ties to the new creation, the Christ. And so the dispensation, the stewardship, the administration of the grace of God, that Paul says, which is given me to you. In other words, Paul recognizes himself as the steward. He is the manager of the household, the one who's charged in dispensing the house rules and the resources for the household. And so what is Paul going to do? He's going to tell the household how to live in this dispensation. What's the house rule? What's the house rule? Remember, oikonomia, oikos, house, namas, law, or rule. So we're not going to try and mix our household rule, the grace from God, with the house law from another dispensation. Now I'm not going to, for time's sake, we won't go there, but when you think of the dispensation of law, okay, the master would be Jehovah, the pre-incarnate son. Who was the steward? Who was the steward of the dispensation of law? Who was given charge of dispensing law to the household? Moses. Moses is the answer. And so you can see that. I mean, we can do this from the New Testament, so I don't have to go back and grab my Old Testament. But Well, let me go back to Acts 15. That one's fresh in my mind because what I'm doing over in another class. But over in Acts 15:5, this is the Jerusalem Council, and we see here, but there rose up certain ones of the sect of the Pharisees who believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. You have a covenant between Jehovah and Moses, and then the household is Israel. And Israel, let me go over to Romans 9:4. Romans 9:4. Now we could go back into the Old Testament and show this, but I'm trying to just do it from the New Testament. But in Romans 9:4, who are the Israelites? To whom pertains the sun placement and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law? See, the law was given to Israel and the service of God and the promises. And so law was given to Moses for the household of Israel, and the household rule under the dispensation of law was the Mosaic law. It wasn't just the Ten Commandments. It was the Mosaic. It was the Mosaic law. And so something has changed in this dispensation. A number of things have changed in this dispensation. The master today is Christ, the risen and glorified one. And Paul is the steward. He's the administrator to the household. And the household is the church of God. And the house rule is grace, not law. And so, remember, you always have Romans 6:14, which describes Christians as not under law, but under grace. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not lord it over you, for you all are not under law. Not the law, as the King James says, the law, but it's anarchos in the Greek. You're not under any quality of law. But there is alos in the Greek, strong contrast, but rather you are, and it's under grace. That's the house law. That's the house rule, if you will. And so this is the dispensation of the grace of God. And so going back to Ephesians, let's go back to Ephesians and we can tie this in. So in Ephesians 3, here Paul says in verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, talking about the mystery here is going to be concerning the Christ. You see that in the next verse, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of the Christ. You know, mystery looks at something that wasn't formally revealed in the Old Testament, but now is. And so Paul received this by revelation. And we see that this mystery concerning the Christ goes back to the new creative act. And so let's just take this back to 2:15. In 2:15, we're going to change a word in your King James from make to create. The King James, this will help you to see what Paul's talking about. And so when Paul in 2:15, he says, having abolished, by the way, that word abolished, that'll be one of the words of the day at some point here. It has the idea to be rendered inoperative. Having rendered inoperative in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, in ordinances. For to not make, it should be create. To create in himself of the two, in other words, Jew and Gentile in this context, into, and there's a little ice preposition that you don't see in the English translation. I just, after twain in the King James, I would just write between that, I would write into one new man, to create into himself, just to create in himself of the two into one new man. Another description of the Christ, the new man. So making peace. You also have another reference to this new creating back in Ephesians 2:10, where it says, for we are his workmanship. Talking about believers and being the result of God's doing. And so workmanship is a Greek word, poema. The ma ending, and poieo is to do. The ma ending emphasizes the result of something, of the action. So this is the, so we are the result of his doing, is literally created in Christ Jesus. And they translate it right there, created in Christ Jesus unto to good works. And so we've become part of this new household in Christ. We become part of the Christ, part of the new man, part of the body of Christ, which is the church. Let's go over to Colossians 1:18 and just illustrate that. And so it's not a headless body. Christ himself is the head of the body. And so in Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church. So remember, the body of Christ came into being in time on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and began immersing believers into Christ. And so the Lord is the master. He's the head of the body. Paul is the steward in this dispensation. He's the administrator. He's the one who's dispensing the house rule. And the household is the body of Christ or the church. And so if we go back to Ephesians in chapter 3, let me pick up in verse 4 here. This is whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of the Christ. So it's talking about the head and the body as one, as being a new creating, which in other ages or generations was not made known to the sons of men, and is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And so now you see this tying into the new creating, that Gentiles, not should be, but are fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ. And it says by the gospel, through the gospel. He says, whereof I was made a minister, just a servant, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of the Christ. So we're going to bring that article out from the Greek, because by context, this is what he's referring to, the Christ here. The head and the body is one. And then when we come to verse 9, we have our word. And the King James does a terrible job here. The word that you've been seeing translated as dispensation or stewardship, for some reason, in the King James in 3:9 of Ephesians, they translate it fellowship. So if you have a Micron pen right now and you use a King James Bible, I would suggest that you change fellowship in Ephesians 3:9 to dispensation or stewardship. Same thing, same Greek word. But here we see in Ephesians 3:5, he says, and to make all men see what is the dispensation of the mystery. And the word to see is, it's our word to bring to light. To bring to light, to make all men, or just to bring to light. What is the dispensation of the mystery? In other words, this dispensation, this household economy, this administration, wasn't something you could see from the Old Testament. This is something that wasn't revealed. You know, Dave was touching on this a little bit, that they knew the Lord was their Messiah. They were anticipating the kingdom, and the king's rule. They could not anticipate this dispensation that sometimes we can refer to it as the parenthesis. You couldn't, it would be hard to discern that there would be this parenthesis in God's plan. And so here he says to make all, just to bring to light the dispensation of the mystery, which from the beginning of, not the world, the ages, has been hidden God, who created all things through Christ Jesus, including the new creation he's been talking about, the Christ, the new man. And so this dispensation, there's been a change, in other words, that they couldn't have known before, that this dispensation, this parenthesis, would be there. And so this dispensation, we have the Lord as the master, the steward, the house manager, if you will, is Paul. The household rule is grace. And the household is the body of Christ, the church. And so you can see why this is an important term for us to relate to. Because as Christians, as being part of the body of Christ, part of the household of the church of God, we don't want to try and mix the household. Our household rule is grace. We don't want to try and mix that with law. That was a different dispensation. It had the pre-incarnate Son as the master, and it had Moses as the steward, and it had the Mosaic Law, not just the Ten Commandments, by the way, but the Mosaic Law with all of its requirements and ceremonial aspects and penalties was the household rule. Not for us. And Israel was the household. Israel was the household in the dispensation of law. Israel did not become the church. The church is not spiritual Israel. The church is the body of Christ. The church. Christ is the head of the body. The household rule is grace. We can see some other places where Paul talks about that this dispensation was bestowed upon him. Let's go to another place we can see this over in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 25. Let me back up to verse 24. Paul says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you. And Philip, that which is behind of the, says afflictions, tribulations of the Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. So we're talking about the house, the household. He says, whereof I am made a minister, of the idea of a servant, which is the root where we get our English word deacon. Whereof I am made a servant according to the dispensation of God. See, this is not an unusual word, dispensation. It's used many times in the New Testament. Says he's made a servant measured by the dispensation of God. He says, which is given to me for you all to fulfill the word of God. And so Paul recognized that he was charged, if you will, to dispense the household rule to the household, the church, the body. And so he recognizes that he is the steward of this stewardship of the grace of God, this dispensation of the grace of God. Let's go to another place that I hope you have your pen ready. Because this is another place that we want you to see this word, because it has a lot of importance over in 1 Timothy in chapter 1. And the King James doesn't help us here. King James is going to make a translation that it's unfortunate that the translation. Our word for dispensation or stewardship, it's translated godly edifying in the King James in 1 Timothy 1:4. It's not godly edifying. It's a dispensation of God. And so let's pick this up in context. Let's go ahead. I'm going to back up to verse 3 so we can get a run. You can see what Paul is encouraging. He's charging Timothy with to take care of some things as he's leaving Timothy in Ephesus. And so in 1 Timothy 1:3, as I besought you, Timothy, to abide still at Ephesus while I went into Macedonia, that you might charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So literally what he's saying in the Greek is charge some to stop teaching a different didaskalia. A doctrine that should be for belief, but not practice. So, in other words, there was some poor teaching going on that was trying to, that wasn't healthy didaskalia, wasn't keeping it in its proper place where it should, doctrine that should have been only for belief wasn't being cut straight or kept clean. So Paul's charging Timothy to, you charge some, these certain ones, to stop teaching a different didaskalia. Now, verse 4, this is our verse, this is where our word is. He says, neither give heed to myths and endless genealogy. And he says, which, now the King James says minister, which minister questions. The word that's translated minister, the idea is which give rise. In other words, don't give attention to myths and endless genealogies, because these are going to give rise to questionings. And this word for questionings has the idea of controversial questionings, kind of, you know, disputes. You know, you've seen it before when somebody starts asking questions and they're really not concerned with the answer. They're looking to open a door to have a little debate. It's unfortunate. It happens. And so this is, so Paul's saying, neither give heed to myths and endless genealogies, which give rise to controversial questionings. Rather than, now here's the King James says, godly edifying. It's actually, you'll see in your interlinear, it's a dispensation or a stewardship of God. In other words, this is what should be, one should be giving attention to, giving heed to this, rather than myths and endless genealogies which give rise to controversial questionings. They should be giving heed rather to the dispensation of God. And then he says something about this dispensation of God. He says which is by faith. In the Greek, it's just the one by faith. The one by faith. You know, there's a number of things we could say, you know, about this dispensation and the household rule, but the one that's characterized by faith, you know, because of the filling of the Holy Spirit, you know, faith as an aspect of the fruit from the Spirit that allows believers, you know, to take that hope that comes from the promises from God, and that faith takes that hope and it gives it reality, it gives it substance, with reference to the one who's directing the faith. And so we have the potential in this household, in this dispensation, then, to organize our lives by faith. So let's go over to 2 Corinthians 5:7. Okay, now, let me just pick up in 2 Corinthians 5:6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And then in verse 7, he says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, I want to just make this even more accurate or closer to the Greek. It says, for we walk. Now, remember, walk has the idea of how we go about ordering our lives, the things around our lives. We walk, it's not by here, but it's actually through faith. We walk through faith, not through sight. Remember, faith is taking the hope that we have based upon promises from God, and that faith takes that hope and it gives it substance, it gives it reality to the one who's directing the faith. Remember, you have the biblical definition for faith over in Hebrews 11:1. And so we have the potential to be walking through faith, not through sight. You know, if we want to try and incorporate Israel's house law to how we organize the details of our life, we're not going to be walking by faith. Let me just illustrate that. Let's just go back over to Galatians. And so in Galatians 3:11, it says that, but no man is justified by law, inequality of law, in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just, the righteous shall live out from faith. Let me remind you that in your position in Christ, you have a quality of God's righteousness. You have Christ's righteousness. So we don't need to go about trying to create our own righteousness, because we have something much better. But in verse 12, and you see in the law is not out from faith, but rather the man that is doing them shall live by them. So if you're going to be trying to live by law, you're going to be trying to earn your own righteousness. You're not going to be walking through faith as you're filled by the Spirit. And so let's come back to, and we'll just tie it up here. I had a few other points, but let's just go ahead and tie this up. Coming back to our passage in 1 Timothy in chapter 1. So I hope you went ahead and made that change in 1:4, that godly edifying should be the dispensation of God or from God. And so that's what should be given attention to, the dispensation from God, the one by faith. Now, I want you to see how this ties into the problem that Paul is encouraging Timothy to deal with. Now, he says, now the end of, not the commandment, it should be charge here in verse 5. The same word that's translated charge in 1:3. But anyway, now the end of the charge is agape love out from a pure heart. Agape love. You know, the new commandment to the church. You know, the law would tell you what not to do for the most part. And there were penalties for not obeying. You know, but the law is not for us. The law kept track of your demerits. The law kept track of how far short you could come from, you know, even having an audience with God. But Christ has perfectly accomplished everything on our behalf. So we have a perfect standing before God in Christ. And so we don't have to be caught up with things we shouldn't be doing, because God has given us the ability to be doing something, fulfilling the new commandment to love one another. Only a spiritual Christian can do that. So we have to be filled by the Spirit. Remember, the Spirit is the one filling. He's filling us with Christ-likeness in the realm of our human spirit. And as we're filled by the Holy Spirit, then we can direct that which is taking place in our human spirit. And so agape love is an action. And so we can do something with that. And we're to direct that at other believers, to love one another. And so he says the end of the charge is to love out from a pure heart. Well, the only way you're going to have a purified heart is as you're living the Christian life and being a Spirit-filled Christian. If you're trying to live out your own righteousness, if you're trying to live by law, and you're essentially counting yourself alive to the sin nature, and your heart isn't going to be pure. And so here he's saying, love out of a pure heart and of good conscience, and basically in balance, you know, doing what's in balance with what you know, and of faith unfeigned, unhypocritical. You know, a hypocritical faith would be putting a mask on, pretending that, essentially pretending. And so faith unhypocritical. Now we see what law does here. He says, from which some have swerved. In other words, they have swerved. They're missing the mark. They've missed the aim of the end of the charge of agape love. And they've turned aside Now they've just turned aside unto vain talking, useless talking. It's a Greek root that has the idea of useless. And then we see desiring to be teachers of the law. Desiring to be teachers of the law. They, in other words, they're promoting a house rule for the wrong household. And then we see, though, that understanding neither what they say. So there's a lack of understanding of what God's plan and purpose is of, you know, grace. And neither understanding what they say, nor whereof they affirm. And the word affirm is the idea to confidently assert. The law teachers, they're confidently asserting this. But there's no understanding there. And so again, coming back to a few things, you know, faith and love. Let's just see what Paul's going to say in verse 14 here, 1:14. Paul says, "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." Let's go back to 2 Timothy and look at 1:13. 2 Timothy 1:13. Here, Paul again, you know, on the doorstep of being executed. He's encouraging Timothy to be putting in to practice the Christian life, even if there's great resistance or great suffering involved. So here he says, hold fast the form of the pattern, the idea of the pattern of sound words, which you have heard from alongside me. And I'll translate it, by faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. We'll end over here, and then we'll just summarize a couple things. Over in Galatians 5:6, Galatians 5:6, we find out, this is kind of fun. Understanding the context helps in regards to circumcision. Remember, circumcision is part of keeping the Mosaic law. And so here Paul says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision is of any strength nor uncircumcision. And so there's a strong contrast, though, of what is of strength. But rather faith, it says, which works by love. Just faith is energizing or operating through love. And so if you're having difficulty with faith, you know, let's think of the happy hope. The happy hope, you know, that's relates to the rapture, the appearing of the glory of the Lord, the rapture. That's our happy hope. You know, faith can take that hope and it can give it substance and reality. It's a supernatural process. So we can actually be living as perhaps today. And it's not, well, maybe it could happen. It's in the reality of it really could happen. That's what faith will do with that hope. And that affects our attitude. Well, when you think about faith as operating or energizing through love, you know, you can see why the new commandment to love one another, if we're correctly directing that can have a positive effect on other parts of our Christian life. Faith is energizing. It's operating through agape love. And so you just keep in mind, you know, it's a single fruit with 9 aspects. And so if one aspect is there, the other parts are there also. And they interact, there's interplay, there's synergistic. so I think that's what Paul is talking about there when he says, but faith is energizing, it's operating through love, and that is of strength in Christ Jesus. Circumcision or uncircumcision, that's not. But in Christ, faith is energizing, it's operating through agape love. Anyway, we just touch on, you know, some of those privileges, some of those benefits for the household, the church of God, the body of Christ is the dispensation of the grace of God. And so, the dispensation of the administration of God. And Paul is the steward. He's the one who's dispensing the house rule, the house law. And that house rule, that house law is grace. We can order every aspect of our life by grace. We can leave all of the self-effort behind. We can leave all of our own works behind, and we can rest in the work that Christ has accomplished on behalf of us, and we can be involved in the works that God's previously prepared for us. And so those are some of the things that relate to this dispensation. So it's a fun word study, interesting words when we look at oikonomia, house law, oikonomos, the manager of the household, or the one charged with dispensing the house rule. And so we'll, Lord willing, have a new word or words of the day next week. Bless those. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. We're grateful for grace. We're thankful to be a part of the household of the Church of God, the body of Christ. We're thankful for the household rule of grace and for that relationship that we have to the Lord as the head of the body, the things that he's accomplished on our behalf, that we can live in light of who we are and what we have in Christ, and not try and be something better than what we already have. And so may your spirit guide and direct in our thoughts and our understanding so that we can appreciate these things more and more. And we would thank you in Christ's name. Amen.